Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
We begin NFL Live with a developing story out of Detroit, where the Lions got some big news this afternoon. Dan Graziano, what's going on?
Yeah, Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, going to be staying in Detroit. He was thought to be a candidate for the remaining two head coach openings in Washington and Seattle, but it didn't match up at this time. So he is going back to Detroit for another year as the Lions offensive coordinator, which has been a real good job for him. He's done a real good job for them. And presumably we will hear Ben Johnson's name again next January when next year's head coaching cycle ramps up.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also really good for the Lions, to your point. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But Graz, Johnson staying put means he won't be the Commanders' next head coach. So what do we know about the search in Washington?
They talked last night with Mike McDonald, the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator, who I'm told is a strong candidate in Washington and Seattle. Seattle's talking to him today. Washington also had a second interview this morning with Dan Quinn, the Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. And then they headed out to Detroit, where the original plan was to talk to Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson. They're not going to talk to Johnson, of course, as we already established, but they are interviewing Aaron Glenn a second time as well. So those three candidates, they've talked to another couple. You know, Anthony Weaver, the Ravens defensive line coach, got a second interview there. Bobby Slowick, the Texans offensive coordinator. But it sounds like McDonald and Quinn and possibly Glenn are the names to watch in Washington search at this point.
Yeah, you had a little rhyme there, Graz. You're with us all show. Okay, so don't go anywhere. Lots of news to get to. Mina Kimes and Marcus Spears here today for the hour. Mina, we're going to start with you. Hey, Swag, with Johnson now off the table, is there a name you like in Washington?
Well, let's start here. Whoever is chosen as the head coach, what will determine his success is whether or not they can identify the quarterback of the future. They have a second overall pick in the draft, and then build the team around them, cater an offense to him, develop him. Now, you look at Houston as being, I think, the best example of a team that's done precisely that this year with C.J. Stroud. And while there's certainly no guarantee you'll find a quarterback who can match Stroud's prowess, undeniably, it has to be appealing to see that Bobby Slowick, who's one of the candidates there, oversaw that offense. However, Laura, that doesn't mean you should overlook a defensive head coach, because Bobby Slowick plays for a defensive head coach in D'Amico Ryans. I think the key, though, is if you do go in the direction of defense, whether it's Dan Quinn, Mike McDonald, what have you, Aaron Glenn, they need to have a plan for the offense the way D'Amico Ryans clearly did coming into Houston, bringing Slowick with him from San Francisco. So I know it's a bit of a cop-out answer because you wanted a name, and I'm more giving you a philosophy, but I think that's what's most important when they pick a candidate is, whoever he is, do you have a plan for the quarterback?
MK, I like the point that you made about D'Amico Ryans and Slowick, because D'Amico left San Francisco where offense was a premium and it was done at a very high level, so he had some recall there. But my question is, what the hell is going on with Mike Vrabel? Like, why is Mike Vrabel's name not a part of this coaching cycle and these teams that are looking for a head coach? I understand what happened in Tennessee, but there was a lot of movement roster-wise in Tennessee too. So we got Graz on today. We got these phenomenal reporters. Can somebody tell me why Mike Vrabel's name is not a hot name for a coaching candidate between both of these places?
What's the deal?
Yeah, I wish I was a good enough reporter to tell you. It seems like he should be on the list, but he wasn't. Look, I think in this cycle, there has been a real sense of, like, let's look a little deeper than usual, maybe get some new names involved. So it's not necessarily something against Vrabel that's keeping him from there. I know what happened in Tennessee, the fallout with him and the GM, and they felt like it wasn't collaborative enough. And maybe that turned out to be a red flag for some teams. But obviously Vrabel, very successful head coach, and likely will be again. I just think this cycle we've seen teams look a little beyond the obvious in guys like Brian Callahan and Raheem Morris, Antonio Pierce, you know, who might not have been candidates in recent years, I think, or in previous years, are getting these jobs.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of us, when Vrabel was let go in Tennessee, we said he might be one of the first off the board with some of these openings. That hasn't been the case. We'll keep an eye on it. Either way, the Lions getting to hold on to Ben Johnson is a great thing for them. So let's dive into that side of it. Their offense has been fantastic under Johnson. They lead the NFL in yards per game in the last two seasons and rank in the top five in points, yards per play, and total QBR. Mina, just how big is this, the return of Johnson, for this Lions offense?
This is enormous. I was thinking about how after the Lions lost, we heard Dan Campbell speaking to the difficulty of getting back to this, the position that they were in the championship game, very honestly and genuinely, as he often does. Well, this to me is the single biggest thing they could have done to get them back in that position. It was the single biggest hole going into next year if they had lost Ben Johnson. The way I would put his importance to this team, Laura, is this. You know, if they were to move on from him, whoever the next offensive coach is would probably want to replicate a lot of the things Ben Johnson did in Detroit. The diversity in the run game, the way they targeted the middle of the field, the way he used his skill players. But as we saw in Philadelphia, quite frankly, having lost Shane Steichen, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to run the same offense. It's another to have a play caller who is incredibly adept at sequencing plays, at adjusting in game. Johnson is so good at using different formations and personnel groupings, then building off of those as the game goes on to confuse defenses. Now they don't have that problem of replacing it because he's coming back, and I expect this offense to pick up right where they left off this season.
Yeah, it feels dangerous for anyone trying to play the Lions next season. So, Graz, as we spin ahead to the offseason, what kind of capital does Detroit have, and where do you think they need to spend it specifically?
Well, I think a lot of it, Laura, is going to be spent on extensions for some of their premium guys on offense. Jared Goff is heading into the final year of his contract, scheduled to make $27.3 million next year. That's obviously a pretty good deal for an NFL starting quarterback, especially a good one. So they'll look to extend him. Penei Sewell, the left tackle, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, their star wide receiver, are both up for extensions for the first time. They can pick up the fifth-year option on Sewell and delay that a year or two. But St. Brown, they don't have that luxury. He was not a first-round pick. So you see here the projected cap space, a good, solid number. And the draft, obviously they've done a good job in the draft in the last couple of years. And then, you know, defensively, they weren't great in the secondary. They needed to add a pass rusher. So I think if they're spending that cap money on something other than extensions, you can probably expect it to be spent trying to find some playmakers on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Graz, I love that you went defense. And I'm going up front because we talked about Detroit all season long not being able to get to the passer with four. And we know how important it is and how vital it becomes, especially when you're trying to make a playoff run. They hit a home run with Aiden Hutchinson. A game came on late in the season, but there was just not enough. Aaron Glenn actually had to go to creating pressure in order to get the quarterbacks and force them off the spot. They need to add depth and help there with guys that can win one-on-ones, because I think that this team is close now, and I'm with you, Graza, as far as the secondary help, and a lot of guys are available in the secondary. There are some phenomenal defensive tackles that are free agents this year that'll be looking for big-time paydays. The one that comes to mind is Justin Madubuike. Chris Jones could be a potential guy on that market as well. So Detroit needs to get the work up front, and I got considerable evidence that Brad Holmes understands that too, the general manager for Detroit.
Yeah, Mina and I had the same smile there thinking about adding a couple of those names that you mentioned there, Marcus, to that Detroit D-line. Hey, we're just getting started on NFL Live, okay? After a disappointing end to their season, the Ravens have some questions on the horizon. Hear what Marcus says needs to be their top priority this offseason. We dive into it. Plus, the Eagles hire Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. Mina tells us what he needs to do to get this offense back to Super Bowl form. It's all next. NFL Live continues right here on ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE.
That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is brought to you by FX's Feud. Capote versus the Swans premieres January 31st on FX. Stream on Hulu. We're back on NFL Live. Glad to have you with Dan Graziano. Lots of news flying around this week. Graz, let's start with the Steelers, who made a coordinator hire today. Who's headed to Pittsburgh?
Former Falcons head coach Arthur Smith going to be the Steelers offensive coordinator, sources confirmed to ESPN. The Steelers were looking for someone with experience who's run successful offenses in the past, and Smith certainly did that in Tennessee. That's what helped him get the head coaching job in Atlanta 3 years ago. He's obviously been a guy that's leaned on the run game throughout his career, and that sounds very Steelers, so maybe it's a good match. Ken Dorsey, the former Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, fired midway through this past season, will be the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. And, he had 2 years almost 2 years as the offensive coordinator in Buffalo, 3 years as Josh Allen's quarterbacks coach before that. I would assume Kevin Stefanski will continue to call the plays in Cleveland, but Dorsey there to help out. And then Kellen Moore will be the new offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. We know they already switched up defensive coordinators with Vic Fangio coming in. Kellen Moore, who did 1 year with the Chargers after his stint as offensive coordinator in Dallas, will come in to see if he can fix what went wrong with Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles offense this year, working with Nick Sirianni. And you would expect there'd be some changes in terms of how the offense runs, bringing in somebody from the outside with a different, who runs a different scheme than Sirianni has.
Yeah, Graz, the Eagles need more motion. See what we did there? Jalen Hurts, I know, it was kind of bad, but I don't take all the blame. Jalen Hurts was excellent when the Eagles used motion last season, posting a 72 total QBR, which was third best in the NFL. The problem is the Eagles ran motion on just 26% of plays, which was the lowest rate in the league. That should change with Kellen Moore calling plays. The Chargers used motion, of course, on 61% of their plays in 2023, seventh highest in the NFL. We love motion here on NFL Live. By the way, Marcus, do you like the fit of Moore with the Eagles offensive personnel who is actually on this offense and who will be dealing with?
Look, I think Kellen Moore will have his best offensive unit when it comes from talent with A.J. Brown and Devontae and Jalen Hurts and Swift in the backfield. Here's the thing, situational football, and will he commit enough to the physicality and the run? That needs to still be the identity of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's not something that Kellen Moore has really leaned into. Y'all remember my gripes when he was the OC for Dallas. I thought a lot of situations he should have went to the run game. He should have won games by eating up clock and having a successful run. Quarterback run has to be back implemented into this offense. There were a lot of things this year that we saw wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Kellen Moore has been the spearhead of explosive offenses. His quarterbacks have put up great numbers. I think when it gets down to the nitty gritty and we start talking about this time of the year, which is where Philly expects to be, they need to be a physical football team. And we absolutely acknowledge that they lost a lot of that this year. So hopefully he can bring that back. But that would be a zebra change in his stripes.
Ooh.
You know, for me, Marcus, I'm interested not just in the terms of the run-pass balance compared to Dallas, but what the run game looks like in Philadelphia. Because in Dallas, when they did run the ball, it looked very different, predominantly under center. It was a very diverse run game when Kellen Moore was the coordinator. I thought the way they used their tight ends and personnel groupings and motion, as Laura alluded to, was very helpful. But, you know, that under center run game and then the play action pass building off of that, that's night and day from what we see in Philadelphia, where Jalen Hurts is very rarely under center. And The run game is primarily from the gun. So I'm interested in seeing, with this new offensive coordinator, potentially with a change at center if Jason Kelce retires, how does this run game evolve in response to that? And then how do you build the play action passing attack and so forth in the RPO game off of that run game?
Yeah, Mina, the Eagles called a run play in 40% of the time in 2023, including the postseason. That's 12th highest in the NFL, but down from 45% in 2022, as we talked about a lot on this show. New on NFL Live, guys, shout out to Clarence Hill Jr. on X for this one. He posted Jerry Jones, who's talking a few hours ago on the radio, refused to commit to signing Dak Prescott to an extension because the team is taking a holistic approach to the offseason, but offered this confusing ditty. I love the word ditty, sorry. Quote, Dak has done nothing to change my mind about any promise for the future. I think I've said that we will go as far as Dak takes us in the playoffs. Remember that. We will go as far as Dak takes us, and that's how far we went. That doesn't change a thing. We'll go as far as Dak takes us. So, Groz, what's going on with that contract with Dak?
Well, the key thing here is Dak Prescott's cap number for this coming season is $59.5 million. So you would think the Cowboys would want to reduce that. And one of the best ways to reduce that is with a contract extension. However, that gets tricky because Dak Prescott, you know, he gave them a hard time the last time they tried to do a contract extension with him. Took longer than expected. He has a ton of leverage. He has a no-trade clause in his contract. He has a clause in his contract that prohibits them from using the franchise or transition tag on him and would allow him to hit the market as a free agent. So either they have to extend him or they have to add another couple of void years at the end of the deal, or they need to carry a $59.5 million cap hit for their quarterback this year, which doesn't sound like the kind of recipe you need in order to pay the rest of your roster.
Well, to your point, Graz, that's what comes to my mind, Graz, when you talk about paying the rest of your roster, because you got guys on this team that are going to be vitally important even after you make a decision on Dak, which if Dak wants to keep a team together, he's going to have to make a commitment to either do this extension or, well, have the 59 cap hit reduced. Here's the other thing, though. When Jerry is non-committal on Dak Prescott, that means for everybody out there, that he's already negotiating. That's what this means. Jerry is already in negotiating phase with Dak Prescott.
Yes.
He's trying to get, he's trying to gain leverage, trying to make him think about these playoff runs and all of those type of things. And that's what that's about. Go ahead, MK, because I know you got something smarter than I had.
We need, you're the Jerry translator. We need to, every time we play a clip of him talking on SportsCenter, we need like a little video in the corner of Marcus Spears saying what he actually means, because you're 100% right. I mean, we could go back to the last contract negotiation and find quotes exactly like this right before they got the deal done.
Yes.
They're going to do an extension. The cap hit is just too enormous, and he played well, too well this season for it not to be an obvious decision, even with the struggles in the playoffs game, it's a no-brainer. They'll get it. I would be shocked if they don't get it done, given the financial needs and the fact that I seriously doubt they could upgrade at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Groz, what do you think?
I just think we need to be careful, because I think there was a couple off seasons where we thought, oh, the Cowboys will give him an extension. It makes sense. Why aren't they giving him an extension? We have to remember the other side of this. Dak Prescott has to agree to an extension. So they have to figure out what he wants first. And again, he has the leverage. He can hold them over a barrel. And if that happens, then they may not get it done, even if they want to.
All right, as you probably would imagine, we'll be talking about this all offseason. Also, for the rest of the show, I want Marcus's bio to say Jerry Jones translator at the bottom. It's a really great thing to add there. Hey, still to come on NFL Live, the Seahawks are another team in need of a head coach. We're going to talk a little bit more about what Mike McDonald was doing there. Could he be headed west? Mina tells us why this move makes so much sense. More NFL Live after this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you're here with us on NFL Live. Let's talk a little bit more about the Ravens losing the AFC Championship game. Costly turnovers in huge moments, as you saw there. And Baltimore players cleaned out their lockers yesterday. The loss was clearly not sitting well with them.
Everybody texts me that I know it's, you know, you're going to have, it's just a moment, you know. It's going to make or break you. And I don't plan on letting it break me.
I felt like we had a squad to win it, man. I really did. And it kind of hurt more than anything that had happened to me all my career to lose that game yesterday. And but, you know, we're back to the drawing board. Life continues. Keep grinding, keep playing, and, you know, move forward.
All the guys that you work around, you know, all that common goal that y'all share, you know, you just ain't reach it, so it definitely sucks.
So now we ask the question, what went wrong for the losing teams last weekend? Marcus, the Ravens lose to the Chiefs at home with a Super Bowl spot on the line. What went wrong for Baltimore?
Well, I'm not going to bring up the six runs between the running backs, Boogie. You know how I feel about that. I thought Lamar didn't turn into a playmaker that he needed to be in that game and didn't understand the gravity of the situation where he needed to be more of the catalyst of why the success of the Ravens offense needed to be had in a game where there were opportunities for Lamar Jackson to take off and use his legs. And this is why we always get into this conversation of why you don't want to do that part? Why you don't want to threaten the defense? And I know I was screaming during the game. The times I've seen Lamar Jackson dominate games are the times I've seen defenses scared to death that he's going to take off and make a 30 or 40 yard run. He never threatened the Kansas City Chiefs in that game.
Yeah, and some of it is credit to that KC defense, but also Jackson's average time before the pass on Sunday, 3.34 seconds, his third highest this season. It was such a contrast to the divisional round against the Texans too. Let's spin this ahead to next season as Dan Graziano jumps back in. Graz, what are the biggest offseason questions in Baltimore as Lamar enters year 7?
Well, a couple of key free agents looming on the defensive side of the ball. Marcus mentioned Justin Madubuike earlier in the show, and 13 sacks this year. They're going to have to find a way to keep him. Patrick Queen, one of their star linebackers, a key part of that defense. You see there Gus Edwards, the running back, is a free agent, as are their two starting guards. So I don't know, maybe they were practicing for next year. They're preparing to lose the guards and the running backs. So maybe they were trying to see if they could get by without handing the ball off to any running backs. Maybe that's what was going on there. It's as good an explanation as any I've heard.
Oh, sometimes you're just so dry, Graz. I love it. Let's take a closer look at the offense. Mina, where should the personnel focus be when you look at making some changes to the offensive unit for the Ravens this offseason?
Well, Laura, this is what made the performance in the championship game so infuriating. This offense doesn't need to change much. It's already extremely talented. I think looking at the free agents, you see OBJ and Aguilar's name there. So even with Flowers emerging as a true wide receiver one, Bateman, the first rounder, is still on the roster. You're going to have to add some veteran depth at receiver. And then Gus Edwards, you know, we'll see what happens with J.K. Dobbins. But as a free agent, I'm sure they would love to bring him back or perhaps address running back in the draft. I will say one area where they did struggle in terms of the running backs was with pass protection in the championship game. That's something Steve Spagnuolo really went after. So that might be something I would prioritize if I'm Baltimore. But the reality is there's not much that needs to be changed from a personnel standpoint when it comes to this offense.
Yeah, Lamar told me Munkin's offense was like fireworks going off, but unfortunately they didn't go off when it mattered most. All right, let's talk about the defense a little bit with Marcus. What should be the top priority for that Ravens defense on that front?
Listen, Justin Madubuike comes to mind first, right? Y'all know how I am when it comes to interior defensive linemen. He was a difference maker for this defense. He was a big reason why they were the number one defense in the league this year. And obviously the sacks get a lot of attention, but it's just the pressure that he created. But look at the guys that are available for the Baltimore Ravens potentially to entertain. You got Chris Jones up there. Obviously, you don't think Kansas City gonna let him ride out. Josh Allen is very intriguing off the edge, which they may lose Jadeveon Clowney. That was a one-year deal. Trying to keep Madubuike in-house, I'm sure it's gonna be a big deal for Eric DaCosta, the general manager, Kristen Whippet. It's a lot of guys that are available up front to change games that the Baltimore Ravens may can get if they feel like they'll be just this close again next year vying for a Super Bowl. Those are the moves that you make to make a difference.
Yeah, Justin Madubuike told us he felt like this Ravens team was different and was destined to win a Super Bowl. You wonder if that factors in at all when it comes to what he may do, but money and contract also factors in too. Now, they could be losing their defensive leader. Things could look different when it comes to this Ravens coordinator group. Defensive coordinator Mike McDonald is a top candidate for head coaching jobs, and he met with Seattle today. More on that coming in a moment. But ESPN Ravens reporter Jamison Hensley asked some players about McDonald's future, and linebacker Patrick Queen said, quote, "He's the best candidate out there. Nobody cares like him." And McDonald would be a great fit for Seattle, okay, since they are in the NFC West and they have to face both Kyle Shanahan's 49ers and Sean McVay's Rams twice a season. The Ravens are 2-0 against San Fran and L.A. in the last two seasons, and McDonald's defense gave both of those prolific offenses trouble. Not many defenses or defensive coordinators can say that. Mina, you like the idea of McDonald as the next coach in Seattle if they decide to go that route?
Have some poise,
you know I
Mina
do,
Kearns. Have some poise.
Play it cool. Play it cool, Mina. No, really. Don't let that plane leave Seattle. Okay. I've talked about the scheme. We've talked about the scheme a lot this year, right? The Baltimore scheme, the simulated pressures, all the stuff they do in the back end, the way they've handled the Shanahan tree offenses. That goes without saying. I think I'll hit something different, though, that I've been so impressed by with McDonald. I think that would be important to Seattle. Which is, it's one thing to call, to be a genius schematically. It's another to get the most out of the players you have. Now, some of that's young players like Patrick Queen, who really has seen his career take off since Mike McDonald and Roquan Smith joined Baltimore. Or a player like Kyle Hamilton, who in his second year has emerged as an absolute superstar. But what's really impressed me is there's so many players on this defense, Marcus, who had career years. Veterans, guys like Jadeveon Clowney, who I think had his best year in the NFL this season with Mike McDonald, the way that they deployed him. Michael Pierce, Kyle Van Noy joining midseason. All of these players played their best football. And to me, when there's so many things we look for in a head coach, but the number one is someone who gets the most out of their players. And he clearly did that in Baltimore.
Yes. Didn't have that Patrick Queen piece of information about nobody cares like him. I love that. Mm-hmm. Boast of confidence. Don't go be Brandon. Don't go be Staley or Josh McDaniels. All right. You're managing 53 now. It's not just a unit. You can't just go into your little cubby hole and deal with your guys. And that's always the adjustment that I think about when I see coordinators go to head coaches. Now, his reputation obviously precedes him. The players that I were able to talk to in Baltimore when we were there, they love him. They love his energy. They love the way he comes to the game. But Mina, more importantly, it's what you mentioned. Getting the most. But these guys love having their best seasons. And they attribute a lot of that to the guy that's coaching and leading them. They love this defensive staff as a whole. And this speaks volumes about what Mike McDonald was able to create within the construct of that defense. But not only the defense, the locker room. The players will always be the best gauge for a coach leaving to go get another job. And all these dudes, to a man that I talk to, Patrick Queen, Madubuike, they have a tremendous amount of respect and they think he's a hell of a coach.
And that's why, obviously, Seattle wanted to go meet with him. Interesting, the Seattle Seahawks front office representatives are in Baltimore today talking to Mike McDonald. It's the first time they've interviewed him. He did not do a Zoom first interview like a lot of candidates did because it was that week the Ravens were on bye, and Seattle just didn't get the Pete Carroll thing sorted out in time to schedule all the interviews they wanted. So today's the first chance they've had to talk to him. They did a bunch of second interviews last week, guys like Patrick Graham, Dan Quinn, Ejiro Evero, and Mike Kafka, the Giants offensive coordinator, who I've been told by a couple of different people today as a guy to watch. As a possibility in Seattle. They were very impressed with him. So McDonald, a candidate in Seattle, a candidate in Washington. They can't both get him, and we'll see how it comes out of the interview today. But these situations should be wrapping up here, I think, by the end of this week.
Yeah, I can just tell you from spending some time with McDonald and having spoken to him myself, as you know, and as all of you know, incredibly impressive. I don't know how he would walk out of a room if he had a chance to hire him and not get him hired. All right, new on NFL Live. Let's go back to Clarence Hill Jr. and his reporting on Jerry Jones today. He posted, quote, Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are going all in 2024. We will be going all in, quote. I would say that you will see us in the coming year, not build it for the future. So let's get our Jerry translator back in here. So what does that mean? What do we got?
Did Jerry just say what I've been asking for the last 3 years on all of these damn shows on this network? Is that if you're really serious about doing it, do it. Now, here's the deal. Jerry likes to talk. This is the most beautiful time to talk because it keeps the Cowboys in the headlines, and we are going to talk about it. But here's the deal. Show me. I need him to be from Missouri this offseason. If you all in on the Super Bowl, get Dak locked up so you can free up cap money. Get CeeDee Lamb locked up so you can free up cap money. And we just put a list of all of those available defensive linemen that's going to be available potentially this offseason. If you want to prove to me and this fan base that you're all in to try to win a Super Bowl, some of them names need to come off that damn list and be down here in Frisco getting ready to practice at the Star.
Hey, you may not have noticed that, Swag, because you were waxing poetic, but just right under your beard there, it said Jerry Jones translator. So we ask and we receive the best staff in the entire land here on NFL Live.
I'll take it.
Mina says it and it happens. Okay, coming up on the show, a rematch of Super Bowl 50 between the Chiefs and Niners is on the way. Stay tuned to hear why someone says the weapons in San Francisco will be a matchup nightmare this time around. It's all coming your way next. We'll be right back.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You can be great no matter who you are. Everyone has a position in flag.
Watch me do my thing, watch me do my thing.
My name is Allison Ganlin. I play wide receiver and safety for the Staten Island Giants. I first started playing flag in the seventh grade. Only the boys were ever playing, so I never really thought I could play. But with flag football, there's something for everyone.
1, 2, 3!
Let's play!
I'm hoping that I inspired at least one or two young girls. You are strong, you're powerful, and you have to remember that.
It ain't no thing, yeah.
With NFL Flag, there's a position for everyone. To find a league near you, visit NFLflag.com and catch your favorite NFL stars on the flag field at the Pro Bowl game Sunday right here on ESPN. Hey, kick off your Super Bowl Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern with a special 4-hour postseason NFL countdown. And then after the game, it's NFL primetime with Boomer and Booger live from the field with all the highlights and postgame interviews.
Ain't no better time to be great than today.
This is about trusting your brother. Doing what got us here.
That is caught by Kyle Juszczyk, breaks the tackle. He's in. Touchdown. 20-10 lead.
The last shot we got, dog.
Hey, if you're running downfield, keep running.
He's throwing long.
Got it. At the 20-yard line. Back in the end zone. Touchdown. Chiefs have life.
They're going to talk about this forever, baby.
Throw right side. Caught by Williams. Touchdown. Kansas City. Runs to immortality. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54.
I will be back here. I will be back with another.
All right, so that was how the 49ers felt after losing that game 4 years ago. And now they have another opportunity for revenge. There are lots of new faces, but the guys in San Francisco who are still on the roster made it clear they are thrilled to get another shot at Kansas City.
they're a hell of a team. They got a hell of a coach, hell of a quarterback, hell of a defense. Haven't got to see him much this year just because we haven't had a lot of crossover tape, but we already have a pretty good idea how it's going to look. I mean, they've been doing it for a while, and since we met them in 19, it seems like they've been there every year since, and we've been trying really hard to get back to that moment. We've been close a number of times, and this time we got it done, and I'm going to spend these 2 weeks to prepare and make sure it's a hell of a game.
You know, I wasn't here, obviously, in 19, but from just like you could just tell the guys that have been here, like, if anybody, it'd be special for them to play these guys. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
I mean, man, I was emotional about getting back to the NFC Championship. I'm even happier about getting back to the Super Bowl because we have some unfinished business there, too. We plan on taking care of one more.
Mina, just how different is this 49ers team than the one that played the Chiefs 4 years ago in Miami?
Very different. Offensively, obviously the quarterback's different. Brock Purdy, you have Brandon Ayuk, you got Christian McCaffrey as being different players, skill players in the roster. And I think that's going to matter in a number of ways. But one thing that strikes me, Laura, looking back at my notes from the last time these teams faced off in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs played a ton of man coverage, and they really limited the Niners when they did so. They were averaging negative EPA per play. You don't need to see the numbers to know that the Niners shredded man coverage this year, the best team in the NFL, because there are very few rosters that can match up with all of the skill players I mentioned. That is going to be a very challenging task for the Kansas City Chiefs when they do play man, because there's so many matchup advantages to be had once you throw Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey into the mix, along with Debo and Kittle, who were on that roster the last time they played.
I think the beauty in the MK is that the opposite units are the ones that lead the team now. Kansas City Chiefs defense leads the team. Even though Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce is there, we still got to remember that this defense only gave up 10 points to a Baltimore Ravens team that we thought could score 30 on anybody. And then you look at San Francisco, like you just mentioned, with what they bring to the party. I'm just nervous because the one constant is number 15. And San Francisco is not bringing as dominant of a defense to the Super Bowl this year as they did in 2019. And for Mahomes to see all of the things that San Francisco has given up along with Andy Reid, it feels a little bit troubling for me. Even if you were good, it'll be troubling. But you see the numbers from 2019 to 2023. And people say, well, you know, Marcus, it's not really a significant difference. You look at the numbers, it's not that much of a difference. I'm gonna tell y'all right now, a 32% conversion versus a 42% conversion on third down is huge. It changes and wins games in the NFL. The other thing is this as well. When you get to this point in the Super Bowl, and I was reminded of it because I was stupid and didn't take Patrick Mahomes. When you get to this point, right, and I know it's the Super Bowl, and I know that it's going to be big, and we'll be there NFL Live doing our damn thing. You know what this is to Patrick Mahomes? Just another day at the park. And that's what everybody has to get over. They are going to have to get over how comfortable he's going to be in this situation.
Hey, I see what you did there. This is a little Super Bowl promo for us. NFL Live will be there in Vegas, okay? We got you covered all the way in the lead-up for this game. A lot more coming on it. Up next, the Steelers bring in Arthur Smith as their new offensive coordinator. But is that enough to fix their offensive struggles? You don't want to miss what team president Art Rooney II had to say. Stay tuned. More NFL Live is on the way after this. We're glad that you're with us on this Tuesday. We'll be right back on ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The reimagined Pro Bowl games are back in Orlando. The first six events of the skills competition Thursday at 7 Eastern on ESPN. The final four events Sunday at 3 Eastern. It all culminates with a 7-on-7 flag football game. Peyton and Eli back to coach the AFC and NFC teams. And NFL Live will be coming your way from Orlando Thursday and Friday. All right, let's read and react with some coaching news around the league. The Browns hired former Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey to be their OC this week. The number one issue Dorsey will need to solve is getting Deshaun Watson back on track. Watson started just six games in 2023 and ranked 27th in the NFL in total QBR. Joe Flacco, who the Browns signed for the practice squad in December, actually posted better numbers than Watson last year. So, Mina, how do they fix this?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, Laura, because Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, is the play caller. As you said, the most important job that Ken Dorsey has is fixing not the offense, but making Deshaun Watson fit into the offense. His background in Buffalo, of course, was coaching Josh Allen as a quarterback's coach before the coordinator. Hopefully, he can exert a similar effect on Watson in terms of bringing him back to the level of play we saw earlier in his career.
Let's go to Pittsburgh next, where Steelers president Art Rooney II shared his frustration about the early playoff exit in recent years. Rooney said, quote, "We've had enough of this. It's time to get some wins. It's time to take these next steps. I think all of us that have been around for a little while are anxious to take this next step and getting a little impatient. We need to see the kind of improvement we all want to see." Mike believes that as firmly as anybody else in the building. So, Marcus, what's been the issue in Pittsburgh?
So, Mr. Rooney, are you feeling quarterbacky? Because that's what you need in order to take these steps forward. And look, cast no aspersions. Mason Rudolph played solid for them down the stretch. Kenny Pickett is young, and maybe you don't want to give up on him. I don't think you have a quarterback on the roster that's going to get you to where you're talking about going, Rooney. So, if you don't address that, I feel like you'll be impatient again next offseason.
Yeah, unfortunately for them. All right, speaking of that Steelers offense, they made a hire at offensive coordinator today, bringing in former Falcons head coach Arthur Smith to run the offense. Smith, of course, finished 7-10 in each of his three seasons in Atlanta. Now, before he was hired by the Falcons, Smith had a pretty strong run as the offensive coordinator in Tennessee. In his last season in 2020, the Titans ranked in the top four in efficiency, points per game, and yards per play. Derrick Henry rushed for 2,027 yards in 2020, the fifth most in a single season in NFL history. So, Graz, what do we need to know about why the Steelers landed on Arthur Smith as their guy?
They wanted somebody who'd done it before, an experienced offensive coordinator who had had success in the league at the position. That was one of their goals as they went into this process, and Arthur Smith certainly fits that bill. He was able to have success in Tennessee. You mentioned Derrick Henry. His quarterback when he was in Tennessee as offensive coordinator was Ryan Tannehill, who's going to be a free agent, by the way. Maybe file that away, Steeler fans. Just saying that's a thing. Arthur Smith, a guy who's experienced, had success, been able to operate a couple different ways as an offensive coordinator, and they just feel like he'll bring a fresh perspective to what they're trying to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I had George Pickens on my fantasy team, I'd trade him. Darnell Washington's stock going up. No, I'm just kidding. Arthur Smith this year did get a lot of criticism for how he used or didn't use his skill players, but Dan makes a lot of really good points about his track record of offense. And the year before in Atlanta, you know, it wasn't just about Derrick Henry. They had an excellent run game last year. This year, things went off the rails. I think what I like about this hire, Marcus, is it actually dovetails with something that Pittsburgh was already doing pretty well. Last year, second half of the season, they really found an identity as a run-first offense that was very effective with multiple tight ends on the field. When they were in 12 or 13 personnel with two or three tight ends, they were a top 10 offense, fifth in yards per play. We have seen Arthur Smith have great success with tight ends in both Tennessee and Atlanta, and I really like the tight ends on Pittsburgh's roster. Ultimately, this is going to come down to the quarterback and whether he can build an offense around the skills of whoever that quarterback is. But I do think he has done things well in his career and in the last two stops that will translate to Pittsburgh.
MK, I love the point because there is a clear, concise way that he wants to play football, right? And you think about what you just mentioned at the end of the season, and it lines up with Warren and also Najee Harris in the backfield, a physical type run game, multiple tight ends on the field. But more importantly, this has been kind of an offensive coordinator carousel with asking the questions, are these guys really good enough to get us to where we need to be? When you start talking about Matt Canada being there, and then you make a move during the season. Mike Tomlin, I'm sure, has been very frustrated with the impact that that unit has had on the football team. So at least philosophically, you have a guy coming in where you know where he stands. Now, to the point, will he get a quarterback that can take him above where we've seen him go before? I think the run game is intact. I think the physicality of the offensive line and these tight ends are intact. Now it's about that other element as far as pushing the ball down the field and becoming explosive like we asked for too out of George Pickens and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, Mina, does it really feel like in the offseason it's all just about getting a quarterback? And I am pretty interested in what Groz brought up about Tannehill being a free agent.
Yeah, that actually, my ears perked up because I hadn't made that connection yet. It does matter, Laura. And I think what I would actually be encouraged as a Steelers fan that they stuck with Rudolph, even though obviously didn't, you know, translate to playoff success. It signaled to me that this franchise recognized that just because Kenny Pickett was a first round draft pick doesn't mean he is guaranteed that spot as starter. And hopefully that willingness to consider a competition at the position continues into this offseason.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's a key thing to remember. They didn't stay married to that first-round pick, and they will probably look at all kinds of options at that position.
Guys, time for one more thing before we go. And today, that's a Sesame Street NFL crossover. Yesterday morning, after the Lions were bounced from the playoffs, check out this post from Elmo saying, "Elmo's just checking in. How's everybody doing?" And the Detroit Free Press responded, posting, "We've been better, Elmo." I wasn't going to do an Elmo voice. Anybody on the show have an Elmo voice offhand, or we're just going to leave that there? No. Yeah, no Elmo. Oh, Elmo's here.
Elmo's here.
Guys, I think Elmo's in studio with me. I love that.
Ask him a question. If any host can get him to answer a question, it'll be you.
Elmo, what do you have for breakfast? Wait, I'm done. I will tell you this. Baby Jack at my house today was playing with his Elmo, and he told him to tickle his tummy. All right, we'll see you later on in the week on NFL Live. We're headed to the Pro Bowl, but enjoy tomorrow, and we'll see you Thursday and Friday from Orlando. Stay ticklish out there.